Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Shark Cast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks brought to you by Dyson Logistics. I am Sharks fanatic Newman, and I'm joined as I am every week by my fellow Sharks fanatic and good mate Sam. How you going, mate?
Hey Newman, how you doing, buddy? Good to speak to you as always. Everyone get in touch with us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram to answer your question. I'm a little bit deflated after last week's loss, which we're going to get into very, very shortly.
And the official records will read that the Sharks were rolled by a very determined Melbourne Storm, 18 points to 13 on Thursday night last week in front of a hardy Sharks fan of 7,912 people at the SCGS. The boys raced ahead after a terrible start to be 13 points to 12. However, the Storm scored off a short kickoff, and that was pretty much all she wrote. Sam, slow starts are killing us, mate.
Yeah, that was evident right there, Newman. Against a weaker opposition, you can get away with it, but against the quality opposition like the Storm, even though we got back to 1 point ahead, it still came back to hurt us, and that's a perfect example of it right there. I don't know what was up with that slow start, but it was pretty lackadaisical, bordering on embarrassing, to be honest, the first 10. And the tries were extremely soft, and they're definitely going to regret that. And to the Sharks' credit, they came back and came back pretty good, played a pretty good game for most of the match, as some of the stats will equate to, but in the end, wasn't good enough.
Yeah, and we watched the game live at the stadium, and the slow start was really evident. Oh. The difference in line speed and ruck speed between the two teams couldn't have been more disparate. And I don't know if it looked the same for our listeners who watch on TV, but it looked like we just walked out of the pub and thought, oh, let's have a game of footy here, and Melbourne were up for it. Shows the quality of our side that we can get back into the contest against an unreal side like the Storm. But, I mean, at home, we're terrible. We're terrible out of the gates. What is going on?
You could see it in the warm-up, Newman. In the warm-up, they were all business. They were how they played, basically. And the Sharks, they went through their usual kind of routine, and they sort of eased their way into the game. But it was all, you know, too late. Our four losses have been at home, as everyone knows. It's just not good enough to perform at home in that fashion. Coming off a week's break as well, Newman, I thought they'd be up for it early on. Grand final rematch, the whole thing. It was evident, as you said, from watching high above, the line speed was just worlds apart. They obviously control the ruck so well, whether you like it, hate it, whether you agree with it, whether you don't, whether you think it's legal or illegal, they get away with it for the most part. It won the game for them.
Oh, yeah, and it's one that wins them. Their win rate is huge. Their win rate's up about 80% in the last couple of seasons, and it's on the back of that, and allows them to have really high line speed and tire teams out, and they play off the back of that. But they've been the Storm have been relishing the opportunity to get one over the Sharks, because we have had their number in recent seasons, and I don't go away from the game thinking, well, you know, that's it. We're not at their level. I mean, we easily could have won that game and probably should have,
yeah,
but we didn't. And another poor performance at home the loss came on the back of that first 10 minutes with, it, as you said, two super soft tries in. And it's so unlike us to be so – that was some turnstile type defense.
One of them, Jimmy, came out of the line way too quick. And Wade got found out one-on-one, and I think the other one, Jaden, was left on his own to stop a bigger fella, and it just wasn't going to happen. So as a team, they weren't really great on the line. You said a poor performance. Overall, performance was okay. The result was not good. Newman, I'm getting a little bit worried about our attack.
Yeah, certainly not humming. And on NRL 360... Shane Flanagan gave a detailed interview, and he said as much. I was actually looking through some of our results earlier today, Sam, and in this time last year, we had put a few teams away, you know, with some decent scores. most of our games this year, we've won by 4 points or less. So it's the attack's certainly not happening.
Newman, if I look at the stats from the game, 59% possession for the Sharks, 31 of 39 completed sets, which isn't too bad, 14 to 4 offloads, almost 100 tackles less. They missed 54 tackles, Newman. We missed 37. So we didn't play, in inverted commas, that bad, but we couldn't capitalize on all that possession, which is why I'm a little bit worried about the attack. I have faith that it'll come, and Melbourne are the second best defensive team besides us. But still, with that possession, you got to do something with it.
I don't have faith it's going to come. I think it's going to be one of those years where we'll get quite a lot of wins and we'll finish high on the table, but it's going to be scratchy. I don't see us creating a heap of opportunities to score bulk tries like we did last year. And, you know, we were rolled over the top of the Storm there, and we've done it previously. Same story against the Dogs. We're rolling over the top of the teams with momentum, but we can't seem to put too many tries together. I mean, we're putting the odd one together here and there, but it's just not happening. And we keep revisiting it, and a lot of it falls onto maybe we were so reliant on Ben Barber last year. It was another thing that Flano said on NRL on Fox, NRL 360, sorry, was that the team really misses Benny Barber. Val's still learning at fullback. He's only giving him a pass mark at fullback. Mm. But they're certainly not attacking opportunities coming from the guy at the back. Now, that's not to say he's not running the ball back hard and contributing to the team.
Yeah.
But as being, you know, Chad's not the most creative half in the world.
No.
Jimmy runs the ball, but he can't do it on his own.
I wonder, Newman, though, we always go back, myself included, and you just did it, to last year. Last year was a freak of a year. Last year's never going to happen again, I wouldn't think. I'm not talking premiership. I'm talking about the streak and the points. Having said that, doesn't mean we have to put up with what we're getting at the moment. We should look for more. We are looking for more. We hope they deliver. But I do think that we lost Benny and we lost Mick Ennis. They're both very creative in their positions. The guys replacing them are still learning. It's not going to be like last year.
But it's natural to compare. And you sort of said, oh, well, our attack's not humming yet. I don't think it will. I don't think it's going to get too much better than what it is now. Look at those stats. Completed sets, 31 of 39.
Mm.
Total run meters. We ran for 300 more meters than the Storm did. We had three times as many offloads, 5 line breaks. As you said, they missed 54 tackles. We got 8 penalties, you know, and we scored the 2 tries that we scored, but it didn't look like we're going to do anything else. Like, okay, Melbourne are good, but with those stats, we should have won by heaps.
Yeah, I mean, let's not discount Melbourne, how good they are in defence, but yes, we definitely should have scored more points. Tell me about who you thought was good, who was not good, etc.
I thought Luke Lewis was, you know I'm going to say that. I thought he was really good.
Yeah, he was.
I thought Ricky was pretty good. You know, he creates a few opportunities. Gal, of course, was good. I don't think there were any too many standout individual players. I thought it was a pretty rounded team performance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who stood out for you?
You summed it up pretty well. I thought Chad was good in his running game, which I think he ran a little bit more this time. Didn't necessarily find the meters or the effort was there, though. I thought he was looking to run more. Something that puzzled me was Captain America getting 5 minutes at the end.
Crazy talk. I was actually calling for him to come on, and people probably think it's because, you know, we really like him on the podcast because he's such a nice guy, but he provides an extra creative element. Like, he's a ball player. He's a sort of player that we don't really have in the team at the moment, in that it's a different point of the attack. And in the last couple of weeks when he has come on, and we've played well, he's done a few things at the back end of the half that have changed the direction of the attack. And I don't know what Flano's thinking leaving him on the bench for so long. It can't hurt to chuck him out there with 10 minutes to go in the first half and 15 to go in the game.
Well, they did throw him on when we needed points, which backs up what you're saying about his attacking ability. I felt a bit sorry for Andrew Fifita. Every time he got the ball, everyone expected him to be Origin-like and go crazy. He had a good game.
Yeah, but he wasn't phenomenal the way he was in Origin. He even maybe looked a little fatigued.
He did his job, I thought. He wasn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't above that, but
that's not a slide on him. He just, you know, he's not going to be unbelievable every game. It's just not going to happen.
That's what I'm saying. He'd take the hit up and be like, "Here he goes."
A couple of times he got the ball near the line, and we thought, "Oh, he's going to score." And then you didn't. Everyone's like, "Oh, what are you doing?"
Yeah, you only had three guys on you this time.
yeah. So, and to be quite honest with you, he looked like he was going to crash over. Yeah. Bakuya continues to impress. You know, he really gets through his work well, but I didn't think there were any particular standouts, particularly in attack. Luke Lewis tried to change the game with his intensity.
Yep.
Other than that, I still think Jaden needs a bit more help. You know, he's getting through. It's almost to the point now where, like, he's surviving rather than absolutely thriving. Give him a break.
Seguiaro's close, surely.
That'll be great when Seg comes back. And you think about when we beat Melbourne last time, it was off the back of a bit of, you know, ingenuity from Seg. So,
what about the last moment of the game? Newman, you were high up in the upper Pete Burns. I was up in the ivory tower. Gee, it looked like with a slightly better kick, we win that game.
Yeah, and I thought the play prior to that, I thought we had them dusted and Ricky didn't pass the ball to Fecky, but I was on the other side. I was on the Peter Burns side, and that happened on your side. So I thought we were going to come home, and I thought it would have been great to get them in that kind of circumstance, you know, beat them after the buzzer.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't to be. And, you know, they're a quality team. And we talked at length about the rivalry between these two teams. It was a heated game.
It was a good game.
And,
it was a good game.
You know, you can't win them all. You can't win them all.
No, I mean, Sharks fans left feeling disappointed, but, you know, even in the discounting the first 10 minutes, the effort was there to come back from that deficit and look like they're going to win it. The effort was there. They just need to do it for slightly longer each week, especially against teams like that. And it's a rare thing for us to lose these days. It's a funny feeling, you know?
Yeah. And I spoke to Jimmy Maloney after the game. I went down to recovery on Friday morning, and he shed some light onto probably why we lost. So why don't we roll that tape now, Samuel, and we'll come back after that with a break. This is a Sharkcast Radio.
All right, Sharkcast on the road with Jimmy Maloney at recovery, North Cronulla Beach, windy old day. How'd you pull up?
Yeah, all good. Body's all good. Yeah, hurts a little bit and a bit of disappointment after last night's result, but body-wise, yeah, all good.
So got a bit of a habit of getting off to really slow starts. Can you put your finger on what that's down to?
Yeah, not sure. Obviously makes life hard against a quality side like Melbourne, but, you know, we got ourselves back into a position and, you know, we hit the lead with, what, 6-7 minutes to go and we should have won. You know, you got to win games like that. So, we just need to fix some things up, mate, and I'm sure the boys will get us back on track this week.
All right, now, a lot of chatter in the papers about your contract. Is that distracting, considering that you've got a contract for next year?
I don't buy into it too much, mate. There's nothing much doing. As I said, I've got another year here, and there's been a lot of talk that I'm unhappy and so forth, but that's probably not the case.
You don't look very unhappy.
No, exactly. So, we have been inquiring what's doing beyond that, and then, yeah, we'll wait and see how that all pans out. But for next year, I'm sure I'll be...
Oh, good stuff, good stuff. Now, Origin, you got a couple of interrupted weeks. Does it affect the way you think about the Sharks? I mean, do you put it in the drawer and then start thinking Origin, or is it difficult to manage internally?
Nah, not too much. I think the hardest thing is not getting the plays confused. You go and learn a whole bunch of new names for the same plays, and then you come back and you got to switch it all around, and then go back into camp, it all switches around again. So I think that's the biggest challenge, but We were lucky we didn't have to back up last week, so that helped. We sort of had an 8-day turnaround into last night against Melbourne. I suppose it'll be a different story after game two, but we still get a Sunday game, so that's a 4-day turnaround or something, so that'll make it a little bit easier than, two or three.
I watched the game last night from a really elevated position and really rammed home how quick Melbourne's line speed is on the back of their really slow wrestle. Do you find it frustrating playing against them because it interrupts the rhythm of the way we like to get forward?
Yeah, I think you do, but I think there's definitely a lot of scope to still, if you can find one-on-one tackles and things like that where they can't get the wrestle, then you can really, get through their ruck. And, I think at times we probably tried to move the ball when we needed to, keep driving at that ruck. A lot of the times they put so much emphasis on the tackle that they'll get the third man back, not into the line, and he'll come around at A, and if you can just keep driving at him, you can find a quick play the ball. And then I don't think off a quick play the ball they're as well suited defensively because they're so used to being in a set defence.
They're pretty structured.
So I think that's where you can really catch them out.
Did the message go out that we needed to pick our line speed up, because there looked like a pretty big disparity at least early in the game?
Yeah, look, I think we need to at times. I suppose they got us in a few corners at times where we didn't have many options to go to, but tuck it up our winning and go. And I suppose they're the opportunities you get to tee off on sides and probably...
Go the Blues. Go the Blues.
Probably...
3-0. What's that?
Cheers. Paul Gallen, Sharkcast.
3-0. I'll be fucking cheering you. Go the Blues, now.
And, probably not. We probably didn't have as many opportunities, where we put them right in the corner and could really ramp up. But, I thought at different stages we did, just probably not as consistently.
Now, were you setting up for the field goal, or was that just an opportunistic play?
I was. The ball wasn't meant to go to Matty Pryor. It was meant to come straight back. So, but once he popped it back, still just had enough time. So, thought we'd pop it over, but yeah, as I said, you need to win games from that. 7 minutes, you ain't got to complete three sets and defend three sets.
The whole short kickoff thing really sort of threw everything out. They scored off the second tackle.
Yeah, exactly.
Hard to recover from that, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think our line was all over the place. I ended up, where they probably scored, where I'm normally set at three men there, but I was caught making the two tackles in tighter, so guys just not in their usual spots. I think just threw guys out a little bit, and we missed our numbers there on that side, and
Jimmy, Queenslander.
And Val. Val's getting a razzing about being a Queenslander and not getting picked.
Yeah, he's telling everyone that he should be a shoo-in, but I don't think it's the case.
Yeah, they think differently up there, don't they? He's playing well, can't get a start.
They're playing good footy, but I think they got a few guys there, and I suppose that's the thing. I suppose they're looking at possibly a bloke like Billy Slater coming back in.
Yeah, he's a fair player, Billy.
Yeah, makes it hard as well. So be interesting. I'd love to see him get a go, but. I'm not sure whether it'll happen or not. Wait and see.
Now, what do you get up to outside of footy? What do you do that clears your mind from rugby league and the boys and that?
Mate, a lot of time with the family these days. Three kids keep me pretty occupied.
Three kids?
Yeah, so a lot of time there. I don't mind, getting out and have a hit of golf and things, but I don't get to do it much. So.
Have you ever played Robbie Willis at golf?
Nah, he's quite handy, but... Yep. Seen him at the golf days.
I'll keep winding him up to give us a game, but he's not keen.
Not keen.
I'm keen for him to bring back his. He used to have a golf radio show. I'm keen for him to bring it back, but he doesn't seem interested. So give me a start. I don't know anything about golf, but that's the way it goes. All right. Well, best of luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks
for spending 5 minutes with us. Enjoy your Sharkcast trucker hat.
And
best of luck with Origin and get another premiership.
Yeah. Thank you.
See you later, Jimmy.
Cheers, mate.
Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies and with better service too because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference. Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424-294-321. That's 0424-294-321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
Good fella, Jimmy Maloney Samuel. Enjoyed chatting with him. Before I, you actually could hear in the background there a lot of chatter going on, and the boys were giving it to Val Holmes, like giving it to him about how he wasn't going to be selected in Origin and talent. And Jimmy Maloney was like, oh, Val, I hope you get selected, mate, even though you won't. I hope you do, because if you run the ball back, I'm going to take your head off. And because it's Origin, won't even be a penalty.
It's true.
He's like such a pest. It's awesome. But
yeah,
he's a nice guy. And I think he was quite illuminating in that chat about, you know, how he sees opportunities against the Storm. And they certainly felt they should have won the game.
Yeah, he's always a pretty honest guy. Obviously, he's very much a larrikin and lighthearted, but you know, even when he was talking about his contract there, which everyone wants to talk about, I got a lot out of that. Now, whether he sticks to his word or whether that's the complete story, we can't tell you. All we can give to you is what is coming out of his mouth, and that's a pretty fresh interview. So I've got faith he's going to stay at the Sharks. I've got faith it's not really an issue at the moment.
All he said is they've just started the process of looking at what's happening when his contract ends. So it's very early days. And I'm sure there's 100 clubs going, all right, well, if he's looking at what's happening when he finishes at the Sharks, we'll throw a hat into the ring, and that's we're going to have to fight to retain him.
Yeah, but he also
knew that anyway.
He also said it's a bit of a, you know, a slight beat up as well. So
yeah,
that was very pleasing. I thought you did a great job, Newman, and I appreciate you doing such a great job. And did I hear the captain in the background there somewhere?
Yeah, he walked past and he was giving it to Val about go the Blues and gave him a Shark Cast trucker hat. So
beautiful.
All good on the gal front.
We love you, gal.
And now it's come to the front of the show where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrove shores of SCGS. The news. Now, what's the first cab we've got off the rank this week, Samuel? What happened in the lower grades, mate?
Some good news. The NYC won again, and they are still in first place. They won 28-20. They were behind, came back. I saw most of the game in the flesh. They're a really entertaining team to watch. A lot of young fellas who I can't see whether they're going to make the top grade or not, but at the moment they're going really, really strong. The fellow who was picked in the 21 for the NRL team last week, I believe it's pronounced Britton Nakora.
He's
a bustling back rower type. He made a great break towards the end of the game, and he looks a handful even at such a young age. Kyle Flanagan, you know, he almost looks like a young Chad. goal kicker, but a really good organizer. A lot of impressive guys, but they were really good. They deserved a win, and the crowd was really behind them. So congrats to those guys. They're in first place, which is where they belong.
Oh, good to know, Samuel, and I'm glad you got there to watch the game. Now, New South Wales Cup, they had a win, so they maintained their precarious position in the top eight, the Newtown Shark Jets, and they beat the Newcastle Knights 18 points to 16 at Cessnock Sports Ground. Didn't see much of that, didn't hear much about it, but they continue to be up and down, and their depth will be tested this week because half the team will be playing first grade for the Sharks.
Now, the reason that is because of State of Origin.
The exhibition game next Wednesday night.
Yeah, exhibition game number two. We have five of our stars playing, and that is Jim Maloney, Andy.
Is that a record for the? Is that a record for the Sharks?
Don't put me on the spot here, pal. Don't do that.
It's got to be five Origin players.
I'm gonna say it's not, but I will find out for you.
When would there have been more?
You might have had a Miller, a Docking, an Eddinghausen, McGaw, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been another one. But let's not ponder over it right now. I'll get back to you with some hard facts, my friend. This time around, we have Val, Maloney, Fifita, Graham, and Bird. You know, Val was not picked in the first game. He's picked this time with, I think they've made eight changes. So they're looking to...
They used to, you know, Queensland loyalty. We pick and we stick. They used to give it to New South Wales about chopping and changing.
To be fair, they were loyal for 8 years. So,
yeah, loyal to winners, Samuel. As soon as you lose a game, you're out.
Have you seen who they got rid of?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's leave it at that. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be missing those five stars, and we'll get to the team lineup a little bit later on. But we wish them all the best, and we hope that they come back in perfect health, is what we hope.
All right. Yeah, wish them best of luck, and that's all we care about. No injuries. Now, another milestone has been reached by the club. We now have 15,000 members. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Yeah. 15,004 members. They reached the total before sort of a self-imposed deadline, which was this Saturday's game against the Tigers, which is members round. Now, 15,000 members is a fairly good result, and it was interesting that the club released like a little infographic which gave some specifics about where people who were members came from, et cetera, and I thought it was interesting that out of the 15,000 members, only 6,900 or so come from the Shire.
That is interesting.
So I think maybe we could do better in the Sutherland Shire.
Yeah, that tells me there's a lot of fans outside and a lot of fans within the Shire who are not members, because there's certainly more than that who go for the Sharks, obviously.
Yeah, that's the case. And look, I've got mates who I go to the footy with, you know, almost every week. I've got a mate and his wife, but they're not members, you know. And when we won the premiership, they're jumping up and down and carrying on. I'm like, why don't you become members? Like, no interest. But they're like...
You should have put them on the spot when they were jumping up and down.
I have. I've put them on the spot 50 times, and they're just like, no, I support the club. I go to the game.
The old I buy a beer before the club people.
Yeah, that's their rationale. So I think there's plenty out there like that.
How do you argue with that, though? I mean...
You just say, look, you know, if you are a supporter of the club.
No, I agree, Newman, and I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you. But I'm saying when they say to you, this is how I support the club, it's like, well, they're not wrong.
They're shooting themselves in the foot too, because, like, every time we go to the footy, they're always scratching around for tickets, like, can I come sit with you? And I'm like, if you were a member, you'd have your seat every week, and it works out to be like $20 a game.
Discounts here and there for merch and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like crazy. But they're not on their own, you know.
No.
And the other interesting point was there's 1,000 Sharks members in Queensland. So,
well, you see them every time they play at Suncorp. They pack out that bay and they bring them home usually.
Yep. Quigs up there in Emu Park.
Let's give a shout out to Quigs. He's a great man. We love all of our Queensland listeners, but we love him in a very special way.
We've got a lot of Queensland listeners. Steve from the Gold Coast, Quigs, Coolum, Gaz from Coolum.
Maybe we should go to a show up in Queensland. Sharkcast on the Road.
We should go up there and play a gig up there, Sam, and do Sharkcast on the Road.
Night before the Broncos or Titans game, maybe?
That'd be cool. So that's the news. Is there anything else there?
We do have a giveaway, Newman.
Yes, we
do. Giveaway is back.
The giveaway is back. The club is back. So trivia this week. You can win a $50 voucher in the Sharks Bistro at the club. So you have to actually come down, be able to come to the club to win it. For the first person who tweets us on at SharkCastPod with the answer to this question.
What year did Chris Hyington make his NRL debut? Not too hard.
So the first person to tweet us with that answer to at SharkCastPod will win a $50 voucher to the Sharks Bistro. And thanks to the guys at Sharks Leagues for coming back on board. They looked after us last week, didn't they, Samuel? It was unreal.
They sure did. And we appreciate that. And it was, you know, aside from the loss, it was actually a really fun outing. We did Sharkcast TV and then we had a couple of beers and we watched some games and had some more beers and we met a lot of cool people after the game, Newman.
Yeah, and I was in the upper PB.
Mm.
I was so high up. I was looking down on the ivory tower.
You were.
I mean, you're a long way up there.
You were.
Yeah, so it's pretty good, Sam. All right, well, that wraps us up for the news. We're going to cut to a break, and on the other side, we'll come back with the letters. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimere Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. Tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite.
Fafita tries to crash his way over. He does. Fafita got the ball over the line. Michael Innes and Ben Barber celebrate.
Five,
they
mate.
Saw what I saw.
I've got try.
We all saw what you saw.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone. I'm going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back.
And now it's come to the time of the show where we go out in front of Sharkcast Pod headquarters and see what the little sharky who rips around the neighborhood on a Hy-Vee's motorbike has crammed into the slot. You can get us at Sharkcast Pod on all the social media handles. The handle is at Sharkcast Pod, and our email address is sharkcastpod@gmail.com. Make sure you keep the emails and letters flying in because we want to talk about what you want to talk about. Now, it doesn't have to be sharks related. Because the results of the poll are in, Samuel.
Yeah.
Judging by last week's episode. And it was 50-50 split down the middle. 50% of people said Felicity sucks. And 50% of people said Felicity ruled.
This is worlds colliding for me. Now, people who didn't listen last week, Felicity's a TV show from the late 90s, early 2000s.
Worst show ever made.
Well, apparently not.
Hey, I'll tell you what, if I'm making something that only 50% of people like it, I'm not thinking that's real good.
How many voted?
We got over 60 votes on that.
That's unbelievable.
Reasonable sample size. There were quite a few people that wrote in and sort of said, oh, I'm Emmy villain about the show, but she was hot.
Yeah, she was. She still is.
Yeah, please.
You know a lot of the reasons why I watch TV is, you know, how you going?
She wasn't that hot. Come on. If you enjoy people who whisper a lot.
I do. I clearly do. And I'm glad that 50% of our audience agree. I can't believe they do. 50%
think it sucks.
What did Mark Horn think?
I don't know. He didn't vote.
You know what? Mark Horn wrote to us. And he wrote to us from Spain.
Mark's from, where's he from? San Susi, Caribou, all around the place.
Yeah, he's a big Sharks fan. And
yep.
He wrote to us from Spain, and he wrote to us before the Storm games. He wouldn't have been too happy with the result, but afterwards, he was heading off to the studio to record his new album. How good's that?
I'm psyched to hear it. It's going to sound great. He's a real talent.
He is.
Underrated songwriter. He's the says the town of Denia has me playing their opening day of summer concert tomorrow night, and he was going to wear some Sharks merch at the gig. So how cool is that? He'll also get a run on Where the Shark Are You. We need those to keep flying in too, Samuel. Now, you got one there from a regular emailer, Michael from Canberra.
Now, we caught up with Michael in the flesh.
We did.
And we recorded some post-game TV, which we were honoured to have him involved with.
Was some siding analysis, Samuel.
Well, you know, that's what happens when you have 48 beers and you do some analysis. but we made some sense. If you want to check it out, it's on Facebook. Michael is talking about the wall of support.
The digital wall.
No, but he's also talking about there was another wall, which I vaguely remember, in our time of trouble.
Yep, you could buy a brick or whatever.
But that wall apparently is gone. So,
which is a big crook, really.
The bricks are still there, but the wall seems to have disappeared. Maybe it's moved and we're not sure where. We're not sure.
Mm.
But he wants to know about this living digital wall.
Well, a living digital wall seems even less to have less longevity than an actual brick wall.
Imagine the cleaners at night, they turn the power off and... You drive past, hey, baby, look, I'm on the wall. Nah, you're not on the wall.
Oh, the digital living wall. Oh, boy.
But again, Newman, we can't speak because we haven't seen it. It's not fair.
No, but I don't trust the Sharks with this electronic stuff.
Are you basing this on the big scoreboards that we see?
The scoreboard and the screen.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, they pulled that scoreboard down. And then put the world's smallest, like, Seiko 1980s digital watch display up that you can't see in the sun.
Newman, speaking of technology, you know how every week we get the letters and emails and tweets about the speakers of the ground?
Yep.
Pre-game, I wandered out of my ivory tower down to where the other people sit and stand. I was catching up with a mate. And yeah. So I was on the street side of the ET stand on that little sort of grassy area. 10 minutes before kickoff, going through the teams, the PA is blaring. And all of a sudden I realise I'm yelling at my friend and he's yelling at me about how our days were. And I look up and, 10 feet in the air, I see this lone speaker. And it is just cranked.
Yeah.
And then I look around and every 20 meters I see these speakers. And then it dawned on me why everyone's writing in. And I said to my mate, what do they do at other grounds? And he said, they've got the fold back on the ground, and it comes back at you at a different angle and it's not obstructing your view.
Yeah.
And I went, that can't be that expensive to get.
If you want to write in and I can actually collate some emails and say, look, this constantly comes up.
Well, I'll be completely honest, Newman. I don't think they're overly obstructing. They're a little bit annoying. It was more the tone and the vocal and the.
But Sam, that's not true. You sit up above them, and it's not an issue for you. When you're down at ground level, particularly when it's crowded, and like if you're in general admission, they're in the way.
I didn't say they're not in the way, but I think the major issue, in all honesty, was the volume.
People wouldn't have such an issue with the line of sight if it didn't. Not only obstruct your view, blow your head off.
No, exactly. And it was almost inaudible. It was so loud.
Oh, man.
I don't know who's running that whole side of things, but...
I'm going to message Dane Wheeler right now, who's the ground announcer, and see what he's got to say about it. What you've done, basically, Samuel, is try and prove that you're in touch with the people. Like maybe 18 months after we heard our first complaint about this, you wandered down out of the ivory tower and just had a walk around.
You've sat with me a couple of times. The people come to me.
Once. I got invited up there once.
The people come to me, and that's how I like it. I sit there on the aisle and, hey, how you doing? What's going on? How about those Sharks? Yeah. Get me a beer, will you?
Never go into politics, Sam. And if you go into politics, join the Liberal Party.
We're not talking politics in this show. How are the tweets? We've got a very special tweet.
A tweet from Fancy Face Freddy, who says, anyone know the whereabouts of Captain Courageous David Hatch? And what he is doing. So, do you take that one, Sam, or should I?
I saw him last week, actually, at the game. He was looking pretty good, and we saw him at the end-of-year celebrations, of course. He looked very, very happy. I'm not 100% sure what's he up to. Newman, you got any news?
He lives down at Borley Point, I believe.
Okay.
Down in the Milton Awadulla district.
Okay.
And just keeps a pretty low profile. He's still heavily involved in the club. He comes up 5 to 6 times a year, watches the games. But he doesn't like speaking or doing any media, or he doesn't go into the sheds and rev the boys up or anything like that. He just likes to just hang around.
He seems like the very quiet kind of guy, but I have seen him talk to punters, and he's always very, very kind to them. So if you see him out, just tell him how much you appreciate his efforts. Great man.
Yep, and he was a great captain too. Oh, yeah. A real hard nut.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so that wraps us up for... Letters for another week, Samuel. Now, we have a game this weekend, another game where the scheduling has kind of killed us. It is Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. We've got a run of home games, and this is one of them. 7:30 kickoff at the SCGS. A depleted Sharks will take on a somewhat less depleted but equally battling West's Tigers outfit. Now, the big news probably is the team. So, Samuel, you could run through the team list there very quickly.
Your fullback is Gerard Beale. Your wingers are Sia Fecky and Big Edric Lee. Centres are Kirk Capewell and a Ricky the Tackle Latelli. Halves, New Brown and Chad Townsend. Front row is Sam Takatizi, Jay Braley and Matt Pryor. Luke Lewis, Jason Bikuya and Paul Gallen are your back row. Interchange, Dan Mortimer, Chris Hyington, Jeremy Lattimore, Captain America. Extended bench, Kurt Dillon, Jesse Ramian, Jack Williams, and Billy Magulius. Jack Williams is the Jack Williams that we got from Canberra and not the local junior Jack Williams. There's two of them running around.
Okay, good to know. Forward pack, not a lot to argue about there. You know, the front row of Takatizi and Pryor is strong. Jaden Braley, we know how good he is. Back row, can't argue with that. Lewis, Bikuya, Gallen. New Brown and Chad certainly aren't going to light the world on fire as a halves combination, but they're very much in the mold of knowing how to get the job done, and they got the job done against the Bulldogs. It's probably the weakest back line we've fielded in some time. Capewell's not my favourite at centre, and Edric Lee's got to do a lot more to get in my good books. Jared Beale also is very much in the get-the-job-done mould in at fullback. He's certainly nowhere near the player in that position that Val or Ben Barber is, so, or was.
I was looking at Kurt Capewell in centre and wondering if he was going to maybe go to the bench with Ramian coming into the centre, but I don't really know who you drop from that bench, so I don't know if that's actually going to work out. I think they might actually be 1-17 this week. I have to disagree with you slightly when you said the front row pack looks okay. Takatizi has lost me, so I'm happy to be back and won over, but at the moment he's lost me, so I'm a little bit worried about that.
On current form, he's nowhere near his best.
Yeah,
that's a fair comment. The other interesting selection is Daniel Mortimer, getting his first call up in Sharks colours. You never know. I'm certainly not a fan or think he's the best thing since sliced bread, but he might do a really nice job for us. He's a professional, gets about his business really well, and if he can come on and increase the tempo and maybe create a couple of attacking options, then you never know. Now, it's worth pointing out that the Tigers certainly aren't I'm going to get the Tigers team up.
Well, look, they're missing Tedesco. They're missing Aaron Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Naglama goes to fullback. Watini Zalesniak, not the Penrith variety, but his brother, is on the wing. He's actually not too bad. Timmy Grant starting at prop. We can dominate him. Luke Brooks returns, and he's obviously a much better option than Jack Littlejohn, who was there. I'll tell you who the X factor for them could be, and that is Lola here, who came over from the Warriors. I think it'll be his third game for them. And he's a really good player, and he's probably playing in one of his more preferred positions at 5'8". So it's not to say they're not going to be dangerous at times, but I do think there's no excuses here, Newman, that we need to get this win. And, you know, however you need to get it done, you get it done, but you better be walking away with those 2 points.
I mean, you listen to their forward pack, Elijah Taylor, Kyle Lovett, Suaso Su, see you manifesting the guy coming over. Come on,
buddy, you better get that. Better get that a lot better. You got about a year to do it.
McKeurig. What is it? See you manifesting a guy or what? How do you say it?
Yeah, you're doing well.
Matt McKeurig, the ghost of Aaron Raper, and Tim Grant. So
out of those six guys, Elijah Taylor's really good. And and the fella we're buying is not too bad either. The rest can be managed and managed well. So it's definitely up to the forward pack to do that. Like I said, Newman, got to win this game.
I've never even heard of any of the players on their bench.
Okay. Well, must win.
And it's just another one of those ones where because we're running out with a depleted side, we've just got to find a way to do it. I don't think we're going to do it with any great degree of ease. I don't think we're going to do it with any degree of grace or poise, but we've just got to find a way to get up over them. And interestingly, we're paying $1.25 at the tab.
Ooh, that's a worry.
That is a worry. We are terrible favourites.
I'll tell you what, Newman, we've got two games left, including this one, in the big five in a row at home. And then I think we only have three home games left after that. And we've lost a whole bunch, obviously. So we need to win these next two to make it count at the end of the year, because you can't necessarily rely on winning every game away from home. I know we have, but for them to do it all year, yeah. So there's not too many. There's five left in total. So, you know, we need to start winning at home again.
How does the draw look specifically? Why don't we run through that, Samuel? Because that's something that we used to do.
The back half's not good, my friend. Well, I say that, but again, we've won six games in a row at home. We won six away, so anything's possible.
One of the draws always, like, you always look at the draw and go, yeah, win that, lose that, and it never works out that way. You always win games that you think, you know.
Well, I'll tell you how far ahead I looked. Round 26, Newcastle away. Now, what does that say to you? What does that mean to you? Newcastle away, last game of the year. Three words for you.
Australian Ferry.
Old Boys Day.
Oh, in Newcastle. Come on, please.
I'm just putting it out there, brother. Just putting it out there.
Yeah. So we play next week a Sunday game, Samuel.
4 o'clock.
Hallelujah. Little T-Bone will get to go to the footy.
Mm.
Are you going to bring Chester?
Undecided, but he'll be there in spirit as always, playing Manly. It's a big game.
Yep, so that's a home game, Sunday, Arvo, 4 o'clock against Manly. Then we have the Roosters, Saturday the 1st of July at 3 o'clock, and that's on the Central Coast. It's a Roosters home game. They're taken to the Central Coast. Then I'm pretty sure we have a bye. Yes, we do. And then we go into Titans away, Saturday 7:30. So that's not easy. Manly, Titans, Roosters.
No, it's not. It's not. So you need to win your easy games. And you know what? I don't really care that we're missing guys and they're missing guys. You look at the two teams playing this week, you look where we're playing, we need to win this. We have to.
Got to win.
Have to win it. Yep. And then I like the way Shane Flanagan looks at his year. He does it in 2-3-4 week blocks at the most. He's not like me. He's not looking at Old Boys Day. He doesn't care about that. He's looking sort of 1 to 2 games ahead, and that's all they need to keep doing. Keep winning your games like they did last year. We've got a very good year happening. We just need to obviously hone that attack and win the games we need to win.
And we need to finish in the top four. Yeah. We're in the top four now at the halfway point. You've got to finish where in the top. We can't drop that.
No.
All right, so that wraps us up for another episode of Sharkcast Radio. Thanks for joining us along the way. Hey, everybody who wrote a review of the Mighty Sharkcast, we want to thank you so much for writing an iTunes review. They've come in thick and fast. If you haven't done that, please do us a solid. I imagine if you're listening to right to the end of the podcast, you're a fan. So just click onto Sharkcast in your podcast app. And you'll see a little review tab. Hit the review tab and write an honest review. We'd really appreciate that. Also, make sure you share everything on social media if you can. Share it to your friends. That really helps us out. Samuel, I'll see you at the game on 7:30 on Saturday night. What's your prediction?
Oh, it's got to be Sharkies by at least 10. You know what? I'm not going to put up with this 2-4 point victory thing. You know, let's win by 10. Let's win by a bit more. Let's show that we're still alive and well in this competition. I also want to throw in a little plug for Sharkcast TV, which airs on the Sharks website and their Facebook page and wherever else. You'll be taking the reins tomorrow. Newman and I will be absent, but that's okay. I'll be there in spirit. Might even send you a little message. Thanks to all of our sponsors, of course. We love those guys. And what is your prediction for the West Tigers v Cronulla game?
Golden point field goal by Chad Townsend.
Oh, my God. Is that what you believe?
11-10, yep.
That's your final thought?
Yep.
Okay, I respect that. I hope it's not true.
I'll come back next week. If we win in the worst game ever, I'll just say, look, it's one of those Origin games. We've just got to win.
Newman, thank you very much for talking to me. It's been a pleasure.
All right, Samuel, I will catch you around. And as we say every week,
go you Sharkies. Come on, baby.
Up the Sharks. Sharks!